Time to retire. here's a kasha. Here's a kasha. I'm challenging the other to a kasha. The Gemara says in the famous Gemara in Ksuvos, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was once a shepherd. He was a raya. He was a shepherd for Ben Kabel Savua. And what happened was Ben Kabel Savua's daughter, Chazise, she saw him, that what? He was Tzaniya Uma'ayli. He was humble. And he had great midas. He was Ma'ayli, Mem Ayin Lamed Yud. He was uplifted. He was a wonderful lad. He was a wonderful human being, Rabbi Akiva. And these are the two things that a person needs to become a Talmud Chacham. Utznuim Chachma. So you have to have tznius, you have to have modesty, you have to be unassuming. And the second thing a person has to have is Derech Eretz, the midas, the aliyah. So she saw that, she made a deal with him. Are you ready to learn? If you're ready to learn and give it your all, I'll even marry you and, you know, go through a lot of turmoil in her life and turmoil in his life if you're ready to invest in yourself. And he said yes. I always wondered, tznius you can see in a person. A person's, you know, modest, a person's unassuming. Where did she see the midas tovus? Did she have a mucker for that? I mean, most people I see, I mean, I can't say they're bad, so I say they have midas tovus. But do they say they're amazing midas? Like, where do you see? What was the indication? It's not a major kasha, because there's a Gemara Mifureshes that talks about this. There's a famous Gemara in Kuf Chav Zayin and Shabbos. I'm sure you heard it, you read it, you were told it many times. The Gemara talks about a person has to be Dan Chaver L'Kav Schos. And if a person's Dan Chaver L'Kav Schos, so is Don L'Lo B'na Shamayim, they're going to judge him above also L'Kav Schos. And what's the epitome, what's the semo, what's that symbol of a person who's Dan L'Kav Schos, the Moshel? That there was a person that lived in the Galilee alien up north, and he went to work for somebody for 3 years. And somebody in the Negev, in the Darom, in the south, and he worked there for 3 years, and Erev Yom Kippur, he wants to go see his wife and his family. So he tells his boss, I'm going home to see my wife and family. As the Gemara Pesachim says, they used to go see their wives on Erev Yom Kippur. And could you pay me my 3 year salary so I could support them? And what happened? The boss said, well, I have no money. Now you have to understand, he was a wealthy person. I have no money. What do you mean you have no money? I have no money. Well, so at least give me some character, some of your land. No, I have no land. Not available. Give me some of the payers. Give me some of the produce. I work the fields. I know you have the produce. Give me some produce. I have no produce. Well, how about give me some of your cattle? And it's right there. You can see it. I have no cattle. So give me some of the furnishings of your house. You have a house. I have no furnishing. So what did he do? He took his backpack. Tomorrow says he took his backpack. And he went home with his own possessions to his wife, Erev Yom Kippur. You can imagine the scenario. And 3 years worked, no money, because my wealthy boss has nothing. And he went through Yontif like that. Came after Yontif. This is a Maaseh Shehayu, the Gemara. Came after Yontif. And what happened? The boss came with all the money. He went down south, up north with all the money. And with what? With three chamarim, three donkeys full of mishta, some drinks, and maichel and food, madonim, and all good luxuries, nice things. And they drank, they ate, and he asked him, what did you suspect? What do you suspect when I said I have no money? So he said, well, I thought all your money was tied up in business. Your cash was tied up in business. And many times you go to a wealthy person, Rashi would tell you, I'll tell you, you're a wealthy person. They say, I have no money. I can't help you. And I'm looking at, wow, I wish I had no money. But it's all tied up. You know, you can't do it. And then you talk about, that's what I thought, it's all tied up. And he said, then what about, the karka? Oh, I thought you leased it out. And what about your animals? I thought you leased them out. And the payers, they won't musarim. You're amoritz, you know. You're a payah. They didn't take off meiser from it. And what about your furnishings? I thought you were machrim et l'shamayim. You know, you gave it. You were mach this shit. Very far fetched. Extremely far fetched. And he said, "Wow, you hit it on the mark. That's exactly what happened." And the reason why he was machdish the rest of his nechassim because of horkenes benay. because he had a son, Horkness, and this is his father, Blazer. And that's Blazer and Horkness, Horkness and Blazer, going like that. And Shlolam Atayra. So I was makdish it. So he shouldn't have it. And then what happened now? So why do I have it now? Because then I went to be Shoyal on the Neder, you know, to the Chachamim. And now that I have the money available, so now I'm coming to pay you. And just like you judged me favorably, I'm judging you. Kadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably in all your endeavors. Beautiful thing. First thing, by the way, I learned from here personally, is that when you say judging somebody favorably, it just doesn't say, I'm sure he has a reason, right? Many times somebody does something wrong and right away I'm sure he has a cheshbon. That's not judging anything favorably, that's just trying to like push it aside. Because if I ask you, what's the cheshbon? Are you going to answer me what the cheshbon is? I have no idea. Yeah. Don is chavel tam, because don means judgment. It means assessing, trying to figure out what the real reason is. And that's very hard. People think it's easy. It's very easy to say, oh, the guy has a cheshbon. That's pushing something off. That's not judgment. And more than that, you see in the Gemara, he was exactly what he said. That means this worker went through the sugyas. What could it be? Knowing my boss, knowing his personality, knowing the situations, and I don't want to say that he's lying or exaggerating or doing anything wrong. What could it be that happened? Oh, the A, but what about B? B, C, and each prat, he hit the right thing. Judging right, personally, but not hitting the right decision is not still a full judgment. So you have to be really exact and correct, like every din Torah has to be exact and correct. You can't guess the answers right. You know, people get very proud on a test. I guessed right. Wow. You know, I guessed right. What does that mean, I guessed right? Guess right, guess wrong. It's irrelevant. You don't have the knowledge. So you dan es ha'odun lekav schus. That is the epitome of understanding, going deep into the sugya, into the person, and getting exactly what happened. And this is the most far-fetched thing in the world. That's even hard to believe it. Even after the Dan Kavskos. And that was this person, and that's the epitome, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done that person on Kavskos. Who was this worker? It must have been a great person. Comes the Raman Mipanai, and the Raman Mipanai says, it was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was this worker. He worked for a blazer, and he worked for him, and he was Dan Kavskos. You start to think, 1 minute, when did this occur? We know after he got married, he went to learn for 12 years and 12 years. And even if you say he took off a year, which possibly, totally in the Gemara, 2 years is in the Gemara, in the Dharma, Gemara, and Ksuvis, even if you say he didn't go immediately out of town to learn, but he surely was still in town, and second of all, the Gemara says 3 years. And the Gemara says he had children. So how could it be Rabbi Akiva? That's not the kasha that was going to ask the Eilam, but how could it be Rabbi Akiva? So the Binyan Yeshua, which is the Pirushan Avistar of Nassan, the Binyan Yeshua says, this is Rabbi Akiva when he was at Amar Aris from his first marriage. Rabbi Akiva was married twice. And he had children from the first marriage, by the way. It's Mukhik from over here. And we know one of his children. Anyone know who it is? Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha was a son of Rabbi Akiva. Ben Karcha is derogatory, Taisus says. And Taisus three places, says it's derogatory. And Taisus says it was Rabbi Akiva from when he was an Amoris. And I put it with the Binyan Shua from the first marriage. Anyone know who Rabbi Akiva's son-in-law was? History, or Gemara, whichever way you want to go. Ben Azai. What's the obvious question? Ben Azai wasn't married. Taisus Kasha. Taisus said Ben Azai wasn't married. It was Kedusha without Nisuin. Taisus Samach Gimel and Ksuvas. That Ben Azai was a son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. It's so interesting that you know, so many of the Tanaim, how they were interrelated. Shu Ben Karcha, Ben Azai, Rabbi Akiva, was a son-in-law, but Kedusha is no Nisuin. And he had similar cases, by the way, Ben Azai, with his wife as Rabbi Akiva. That's the Gemara in Samach Gimel and Ksuvas. So you have over here Rabbi Akiva in his first marriage. What happened? I don't know. But then he was working and ultimately came a worker now for Ben Kalva Savua. Second job. And she saw that he was Tzandua Umayli. So I think the Makkah for Umayli is this Gemara in Shabbos. That's a feeling I have. That He was a danis kola odin lekav schus. That's a miley, to see the good in everybody, but in truth. I know a lot of people see good in a lot of people, but it's not really true. You know, they're starting off with the premise he's good and everything's good. And then I ask them, what's good about the person? And then the silence. You know, if you ever want to end the conversation, just ask the question when somebody makes that comment. He's such a good boy. Why? Because he's such a good boy. he judged it. He was a dan es ha'odom lekav schus. He really saw the good and he was exact and he was right. That's a inish ma'ayli. That's what I would say. But what happens? Tosis has a kasha. Tosis has what I call the bomb kasha. Because I was brought up, I'm sure everyone else was brought up, with this yisoid, that a ama oritz is a soinei chachamim. He hates chachamim. And what's the semel? Again, the epitome. That person that symbolizes the ama oritz, hatred for talmidei chachamim, Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara Mesachim says, Rabbi Akiva says about himself, I used to say, what does it mean I used to say? I mean, this was his commentary constant. Like, who hoya oimer? Is that like a person's personality would say consistently? He said this all the time. Hayisi oimer. Mi yitain li Talmud Chacham. Person should, they should give me a Talmud Chacham. And what will I do with him? Anashchenu kechamor. I'll bite him like a donkey. And the Gemara says, not like a nachash. Well, this really hurts. It breaks the bones. Anashchenu kechamor. That was his hatred for Talmud Chacham. And it tormented him. Why? Because if I dislike B, whatever B is, so usually when I see him, I want to walk across the street. You know, but he's surely not part of my life. And I don't think about it all the time how I'm going to destroy the person. So when you see him, Rabbi Akiva, mi yiten li tamul chacham. It was tormenting his mind all the time. I can't wait to see a tamul chacham. Why? Because anashchenu kechamor. That's a sinus chachamim that I don't think any of us experience. Hayisi oimer. So comes Taisus. I love the Taisus of Lashon. Mashma. It sounds from here. Dulhavi ma'ayli. He wasn't such a good person. You know, not morchuch. But it's mashma. Mashma dulo ma'ayli. He wasn't such a great person. So how could she see good midas in him? Powerful question. Taisus says, one of the greatest yisaidis, I think, in chinuch, as when you come parents, rebellion, in friends, friendships, spouses, and human relationships. He says, the yisoid, I think, of human relationships. He says, unlike what I always believed, that not that Rebbe Akiva naturally hated Talmid of Chachamim. Tosfos answers, Kedai to read the Lashon. The Hasam lav mishum shahayah sayinu Talmid of Chachamim. Even though he said Ayisi Aimer, Ella, Mishum Shahaya Sovar, he was convinced, Rabbi Akiva, Shem is going al Ame Ha'aretz, the Talmidei Chachamim were haughty upon the Ame Ha'aretz, Mipnei Torasim, because they were Talmidei Chachamim, because they had the mile of Tyrof, V'hayu Talmidei Chachamim, Sayyim Maisai. And the Talmidei Chachamim hated him. So he's walking around being hated by Talmidei Chachamim in his mind. And that's tormenting him. And the hatred that he thought that they hated him was so great that he reciprocated and hated them. If you found out that I respect you, what are you going to do? Respect me. If you found out that I liked you, what are you going to do? Naturally, like me. If you found out that I dislike you, what are you naturally going to do? Dislike me. It's a human. This is the teva that Kodesh Baruch Hu created in the Bria, that all relationships are always reciprocal. That's why it's very easy to repair a relationship. In Kesser Rosh, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin writes that if, let's say, you dislike me, and I know you dislike me, and I want to get you to like me, and I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and you're in America, what do I do? Right? And there's no WhatsApps in these things, at least in his days. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So I'm going to think here and say, What can I find that I really like about you? And I start to think it, and I start to develop a liking towards you. And then suddenly you're going to wake up one day with a liking to me. And it's so simple. So the reciprocation of relationships doesn't have to be in front of you. You don't even have to know about the reciprocation of relationships. It's just real. It's there. Now, if you think, wow, Reb Chaim Volozhin says this, where did he get it from? I'm sure he got it from Koach HaTorah, but he uses another two words, Baduk Umenusa. It's tried and tested and proven. It's tested and proven. If Reb Chaim Volozhin tells you something and he doesn't say Baduk Umenusa, I would invest in that. I would invest all my money in that. And if he says it's Baduk Umenusa, I don't know why I invest anymore because I've invested without that. But it's Baduk Umenusa, it's tested. It's there. Because relationships in the Bria are all reciprocal. So by the way, it's a good thing because you can always be the recipient of a relationship or the cause. You can be the effect or the cause. Most people walk around lives as a effect of relationships, which is not the healthy thing in the world because somebody else is controlling your life. I can control your mood by the way I relate to you. Finished. Unless you're a gavra and you decide that you will relate to me despite the fact the way I relate to you, and then you cause my mood. You turn me around. And I'm now the result of it. That's how it is. But you can't have two ways. So the stronger party is going to, or sometimes it's the weaker party, is going to define the relationship. So he thought that Chachamim hate him. He hates the Chachamim. What type of sinner? Such a sinner that was tormenting him to the fact that he was, that me tein v'li tamid Chachamim v'adash chenu kechamor. And Tosfos says also, add on, that Chachamim didn't go near him, didn't touch him, because the Gemara in Chagiga says that that he's Metamim Medrus, the big day Amaretz is Metamim Medrus, to keep the Chachamim, the Amaretz away from the Chachamim, that's what they were going to say. So right away, there's a distance, it must be the distance cause of hatred. Umikomakim, Tosfos says, Shomer Mitzvos Haya. He was really a fine fellow. He was a Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Maybe better than me, as the Amoritz. He was a good person, an Elich person. And now he was Sneum Ha'ili, a wonderful person. But he was under the misconception that Talmid Chacham hated him, and therefore he reciprocated. But not because an Amoritz necessarily hates the Talmid Chacham. That's Tosfos Teretz. It's a beautiful Teretz. So he can be Ma'ili and a Sneum Chacham. But one minute. If I'm right, that the Mokker, that he was Ma'ili, is because of a midah that he's a dam, it's called Adam Kaschus, like the Ramami Panon, that he judged people favorably, and he really did it. He went through the sugya and understood, and he was exact by Reb Lezer ben Horkinus. So then, why didn't he judge Talmidei Chachamim favorably? What happened to the yisoid of Donis Kola Adam Kaschus? He should start thinking, is it every Talmud Chacham? Maybe it's just this Talmud Chacham. You know, you can't necessarily make a rule out of individuals. Is it, maybe I'll just ask the Talmud Chacham, like, why are you distancing yourself from me? And maybe he'll tell me the Gemara in Chagiga. You know, Thomas Medrash. Or I'll ask him, why did you attitude this to me? Or why can't I figure out that it wasn't really an attitude? Why couldn't it be done the Talmud Chacham to Kav Schus, when he is a symbol of, this is a kasha that I have. Anyone willing to answer it?
When something happens to one person directly, he could overcome it. But when in the case when he had that hatred towards the Chachamim, it wasn't just him; it was all the Amaratzim around.
So I hear. I don't believe that's right, and I'll tell you why. You're saying if something happens personally, he can judge it. If it happens to everybody, then he can't. I mean, what's the difference if it's everybody? I'm judging the person, not judging the effect. So I'm saying this is a person who Chachamim hate Amei Haaretz, so we judge that to the Chachamim don't hate Amei Haaretz. And then everyone's good. I understand. You're saying it's so traumatic to everybody, it's too large to judge. I would say the other way around. What happens to me is very hard to judge. I'm hurt. 3 years went to waste. I was robbed by a lawyer, and I can still judge it. Yeah?
I'm going to say the opposite of that. Like, the Talmid Chacham as a whole, like, it's harder to
Be careful, you might get free of the tuition here. What?
So for Rabbi Akiva himself, or for one person himself, like a whole mass of people were banning, like, well,
This is also a part of the question is it really he saw so many Talmidei Chachamim, or it happened to experience one or two or three? And we all do this, by the way. I know I'm guilty. We judge the masses by the individual, right? So it's, I don't know, yeah.
He was judging them favorably because he was looking at them and saying, you're Talmidei Chachamim.
Right.
I expect more from you because you are on such a high level.
Yeah, but is that called is that called a kanschus?
No,
that's judging. He's judging here. I'm expecting more of you, and therefore I'm Daniel Lekav Chayva. I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah.
I need tuition for maybe a stellar if I can. Well, that's a good answer. According to Rebbe, you said before that the pshat dan lekav schus is being able to frustrate the other person, understand the other person. So, and a business, as an Amma Aretz, so the other one was a businessman, to think about the businessman's cheshboinus, so he can step into his shoes and make cheshboinus, also klape mitzvahs. But because man is an Amma Aretz, to make cheshboinus klape a Talmud Chochum, it's an andere welt in Gansin, don't you shy him to frustrate the Talmud Chochum.
It's a show of risk. Staying here. So I'm going to go more Baal Batish. What I think the site of Tesis is, and it's a tremendous site, is that a person can don lekav schus on anything that occurs to him, all his money, yisurim, on other people, surely on Heksher, his ben adam l'makom, you surely could be dan l'kavskos, his ben adam l'chaveria could be dan l'kavskos, except for one nekuda. And it's the hardest nekuda, and it's probably the something which everyone suffers from some part, is called being rejected. When a person's rejected, he's so tormented, can't handle it at all, that he doesn't have the natural or human capacity to be dan lekav schus. And the reason is because a rejection of a person is ke'en misa of that person. It's death. And that's a Gemara. Gemara says by Chani HaMagal. Chani HaMagal came back after 70 years and of his sleep. And he came back with his chachma. You know, he didn't lose it. He came back with his chachma. He came into the base of Medrash, and they treated him as, he said, I'm Chani HaMagal. They didn't treat him as such. And he said, O chavusa, I misusa. I need a chaver or it's death. And what happens? He ended up dying. And Rashi says, chavusa shemechabdim oiso kechilo. That's Rashi and Tainus. They mechabed him like they used to mechabed him. But he was rejected. He wasn't accepted. You can't live with it. What are you going to? You could justify it from today to tomorrow. That's why you can't down the kav schos. I could justify from today to tomorrow. Ultimately, I'm rejected. And I can't live with rejection. So if I'm rejected with all the justifications, I still can't live with it. I'm not part of the society. So I might as well not. There's nothing to at that point to really reassess or to objectively define or justify, because at the end of the day, I'm not accepted. So there's no process. And there's no process, so they hate me. So I hate them. And you have the same Gemara by Iyov. Gemara says that you should be Chaverim. Chaverim ki Iyov o Misusa. Iyov, you have to understand what goes on. It's fascinating. Iyov had every Yisurim Shabbalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malach, every torment should happen to Eve, except for one thing. It's Nafsho Shemar. Just don't take away his life. Okay? They got. So the Malachim took away his children. Whoa. Tormented him. It's Parnaso. All different Yisurim. Yisurim Ke'ev. We can't handle Yisurim Ke'ev. What happened? His friends heard about it. Each one of the friends, they had to live 300 parshas away. That's 1,200 kilometers. Pretty far. And it's like 30 days of traveling in times of Gemara, because Gemara says you could travel 10 passes in one day. So 300 is 30 days. And they all had a pact somehow that they all knew about other people's situation. Gemara talks about that. They created a pact amongst one another. And when they heard, they all came to help him. And that's what he says. You have to have a chaver like Iyov, a chaver that cares for you. The Ben Yoyada says something fascinating. He says there are three types of friends. Always remember this. There are friends who are there in the good times. I think we all have that. And then you could take away 90%. There are friends who are there even in the bad times. Right? That's a new level of friendship. But then he says there's another level of friendship that hardly anyone has. Not that when they're not reactive in bad times, they're proactive. They know about the bad time when it's occurring to you, even if you're thousands of miles away. Because they set up a system to always find out about you. They're always watching over you. That's even a deeper friendship. You know, people are lucky if they have one or two people like that in their entire lives. Parents and Rebbeim are those people, by the way. It's a fascinating thing. Because parents will always ask about you and concerned about you when you're not in their proximity. And many years later, after you're married, we all know that. Rebbeim, in my experience, and I'm sure I know you experienced that here also, is that Rebbeim care about you when you're away in America and care about you 20, 30, 40 years later. They're always asking. Somebody comes in from wherever you live and Rebbeim's going to say, Rashiva's going to say, Mashiach's going to say, oh, what's doing with him? How's he learning? Is everything okay? And suddenly, you're going to ask, how do you know? He'll know the good, he'll know the hardships of your life 30 years later. Because that's real caring. But there are very few people like that. Most of your friends are not like that later on in life. Right now you feel that. Because right now we're all living friendships of the good. You know? But later on. That's a chaver ki'iyav. And that chaver, o chavrusa o yisusa. A person needs to exist. A chaver ki'iyav. In fact, the older Mepharshim asked the obvious question. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away his friends? He gave him all the Yisurim, took away his children, took away his parnasa, his health. What about his friends? Couldn't take away his friends because O Chavrusa, Misusa, that's the Makkah. Because he would have taken the friends, he could not exist, he would die. Rakis Nafsha Shemar, but they were charged that you have to keep him alive. He needs friends. You can't live without acceptance. A person needs to be accepted by somebody, by his society, by his family, by his yeshiva, by his friends. Rabbi Kiva suffered rejection. This is an amazing thing. Rejection in his life, self-perceived rejection, because it wasn't really true, from Talmidei Chachamim, and that caused him to become a Sonei Chachamim. And what happened? Rachel Bas Ben Kabel Savua saw that, one minute, he's a really good person. And she accepted him. And he learned, and she communicated that. She communicated that to him. And because she communicated that, he was accepted into the Adumai Yeshivas. And he was pushed into there. And therefore, he became the Rabbi Akiva. Such a fascinating insight. But as Bachram, people have to always realize, first of all, in your Ben Adam L'Chavera, you always have to be careful. Because your one comment to somebody else can make a whole difference in somebody's life about rejection and acceptance. It's such an oil that we all carry upon ourselves. And when you make a comment, they're judging the Olam HaTorah. There's not a person in this room that doesn't represent the entire Olam HaYeshivas in the world. And you're everything you do, and even if you don't say something negative, but you didn't give that warm Shalom Aleichem, I wonder why he's not going to want. Paul doesn't like me. That's how people are today. I don't know why. You know, there's very little self-esteem out there. But people feel that. And it can be devastating to a person. And you have no idea that you did it. On the other hand, when you give that warm Shalom Aleichem, when you learn with somebody, he grows and you grow from it. A lot of times, what happens in rejection, just in general, I personally believe most problems, issues in the world somehow end up leading to the bottom issue, and that bottom issue, which is the destructive issue, is rejection. It can be so many things that lead to that path. But that last path is rejection. A person feels he was rejected from a parent sometimes. It happens. There's no parent that's really rejecting kids. I believe that. They don't communicate acceptance too well many times. But they're not really rejecting because a parent naturally loves a child. And that's in the teva. You know, and talking about normal, healthy things. And the same thing. I haven't yet met a Rebbe that rejects his Talmidim. Now, sometimes you'll hear a sharp line. You know, I'm guilty of it all the time. A sharp line. But it's never, I don't expect that to be accepted bare because we have a relationship. For instance, if somebody were to come and tell Yechiel, not me, somebody outside, Yechiel, and he doesn't know Yechiel, I just heard something in your name. That was the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. I can't believe you said it. Yeah, maybe I do believe you said it. Because you're brainless, Yechiel, you're brainless. Yechiel, you don't know the person. Are you going to like this person?
Not really care.
Not. Would you like the person? No. When you say you don't care, you mean you really care. You just know that, you know. All boys that ever told me, I don't care what people think. Care what people think. Otherwise, they wouldn't say, I don't care what people think. We all care what people think. Certain people we don't care about because we don't know them. But the person that we know, we care. Right? We're all products of that. So, you won't like the person, right? You would be mad at the person. Yeah. Yeah, and go on and on. If the cursor fell down afterwards, what would you do? Laugh. Smile. Great. Yechiel. Now, this is the test one. If I said to you, Yechiel, that's the dumbest thing I've heard in my entire life. Oh, it's so typical you. What would you say?
Laugh.
You'd laugh. He'd say, all right, Kaufman's having one of his days again. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, or, all right, we're friendly. Pass on. What was the difference? We have a relationship. He knows I like him. He knows I care about him. Okay, so who knows? He'll justify it because he's not going to accept it as rejection. Because he knows he's not being rejected. But if we didn't have a relationship, that's the end. A relationship will never occur from it. Now let's say, watch this. I believe, I never communicated, but I love Yechiel. I care about Yechiel. And I'll do anything for Yechiel. But he never heard that from me. He never saw that from me. But I've been doing, he doesn't realize that. And then I say to him, he will take that as rejection. And I have, what are you talking about, Yechiel? I don't even remember saying it. It was just in passing. And he's living his life angry at me. Because I have a deeper feel for Yechiel than Yechiel recognizes or that he has for me. And that's always happens. Naturally, a parent will love the child more than the child will love the parent. And therefore, the parent sometimes will say something to the child, and they mean good, and the child's going to say, well, a minute, there was insecurity, he doesn't like me, my parent. Or the same thing will go with a Rebbe. A Rebbe will always love a Talmud, way more than a Talmud would love a Rebbe. And if you think you love your Rebbe so high, and I'm sure you do, he loves you even higher. And as high as you're going to go, the Rebbeim always going to be more than that. That's the natural relationship because he's the giver. He's the parent in this. So sometimes they'll say something that you take it as a hurt or a push away and it's nothing more than being full. If I were to say to somebody who I don't know, well, I know him, now I know you. If I say, I think you need to improve. Who are you? Like, he takes that as rejection. Right? And of course, if I say, oh wow, you reached your maximum, that's the other extreme. You reached your potential, you can't get any better than you are. He's also going to get mad. That's acceptance, right, in his eyes. That's only if I don't know him. But if I know him, I say, you know, you need to improve. Now, I should say, you're doing great, but you need to improve. That already shifts it. But if I know him, I say, I think you need to improve in this, I really mean it that as a positive. Because I would never tell somebody you need to prove unless I believe you can improve. Right? That'd be silly. So it's a vote of confidence. It's not rejection. It's acceptance. But it's accepted different ways based on his attitude, based on the relationship. So what a person has to do in life, in order to overcome all rejections and thoughts of it, and if you think about your lives, everything that you get down about, that you're afraid to do, if you feel rejected at times, you're afraid to ask someone to learn with you because maybe he's going to say no. And now you dislike him because he said no in your mind already. And he has no idea why not. You know, every time you're afraid to ask something or to do something or to invest in something, even in yourself, in your learning, in your avodas Hashem, because it's not going to happen. Rejection. I'm not going to become the Talmud Chacham. They reject you. You self-rejected yourself based upon something else. That's the silliest thing. It stifles a person. In fact, there was a scientific study, fascinating, that rejection, the pain of rejection is so hard that painkillers could heal it. It becomes a physical pain. And that's why there's a lot of substance abuse in this world, because it's lemaisa, it comes from that need of rejection. But the way, the antidote is so simple, it's all in your hands. It's called relationship. So what does a person do? Develop strong relationships. So when you develop a stronger relationship with the parent, and that's by being proactive. You know, when was the last time you went home and said to your parents, "Yeah, let's go out to eat. I'll pay for it." Yeah. Let's go out to eat. And your father's going to say, "Why?" "I don't know. I want to spend time with you." Right? The eyes are going to roll, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what? And till now, they felt rejected, right? That's relationship. And then, I'm telling you in the conversation, try it. And the conversation is going to be, "So what do you really want from me?" Really? "What do you mean? What do you want from me? Dad, Ma, nothing." They're not going to believe it. That because there's a weak relationship, that means. But you develop that, you try it a few times, and suddenly it's a whole new relationship. It's very simple. Same thing with Rebbeim. Go over. Ask a kasha. Ask more kashas. Somebody asked me once, "So I don't have a relationship with my Rebbe. How do I develop that?" Go ask him a kasha. What? Yeah. Go relate. And then suddenly, you can accept guidance. Much easier to accept the guidance. The yes is a no. You can even punish. And the same thing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more you have that relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can accept all the trials and tribulations of life. And the same things with a spouse. This is the best spouse marriage you can get. You know, you kiss anyone that's married. Anyone that's married. And you buy your wife a birthday present. And you spend, I don't know, let's say $200 on a birthday present. And you write a note, a nice note, that $200 was worth thousands of dollars. If you don't write a note at all, that $200 present was worth $10. It's almost meaningless. Because it's not the present. It's the relationship. It's a very simple thing. And when you have that relationship, yes, there are going to be disagreements. That's not called rejection. That's not called rejection. Disagreements are not rejection. The greatest relationship is the husband-wife relationship that creates that bond. That was Rachel Bas Ben Kabel Savua. She told him, there's real relationships, and it's Torah-dicken relationships in this world. And what's the relationship? We'll get married. We'll have children. And you'll go away from the marriage for 24 years to learn. And we're relating one together. Together. We're in this together. They didn't see each other. And when he came back, she said, "He doesn't even have to come back into the house. Let him learn." And we're relating together. Because he knew that she was accepting him. And she knew that he was accepting her. And ultimately, they got together. And she got all the schar. And he became the Rebbe Akiva. From self, I guess, thought rejection, came a really, really an acceptance. And that's how he became a Talmud Chacham. I'll finish. Can I have 5 more minutes?
You could 10-15.
I'll tell you something. It's a pet peeve of mine in Davin, but I want to relate to Ricky Vega. I love this Ricky Vega. I live this Ricky Vega.
But she was not going to 10-15.
Oh, okay. I'll do a quick Rekiva. It's such a good shmack of Rekiva. Rekiva to Rekiveka. Let's go from Rekiva to another Rekiva. It speaks to me all the time. And it helps me in my avodah Hashem. So it's This is my Yetzer Hara Rebbe Akiva. There's a mitzvah, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol modecha. At the end of the day, you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything. All right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to command me to give up all my resources, all my money? It's hard, but okay. My life, it's hard. Arab, it's, you know, it's a one-time thing. I could do it. Yeah. In my Yetzer Hara, it's probably even harder. It's murder. It's murder. They say the author from Sobatka Yeshua Futna, who's Yechavrusa. So he said, I learned the Yetzer Hara. He says, why? He says, it's with me all the time. It's the best Chavrusa around. It's always there. You know, so it's there. It torments us. Okay, I have to give it up for Hashem. But I have to give it up lovingly. Lovingly. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu command such emotions? I mean, it's a famous Kasha Ibn Ezra, but how could he fake? So Rav Kiveges says the same insight. He says, oh, relationships are reciprocal. If I were to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me infinitely, it's not hard because he's an infinite being, unconditionally, in all circumstances, would you not take a bullet for him? Of course. If you know, you go under the chuppah, you know, and you ask you, the spouse to be, or she asks you, do you love me even b'chol, with all the money, right? What would you say? With all the money, you give me all the money in the world in this marriage? Yeah, you did. You made the chasa. The chasa is more than all the money in the world. Yes. And what about you'll die for me? Yes. And you believe you're not lying. And what about, you know, you'll be loyal with all your Yetzirah to me? Of course. There's no question about that. Truthfully, yes. With Ava, yes. So you wouldn't do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu also? The reason why you do it because you feel that she feels the same way. And she does it because she feels you have the same way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same way. It's natural. It's not a hard avodah. What's the hard avodah? It's to internalize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us unconditionally, infinitely, so to say, b'chol levavah, b'chol nafshah, b'chol ma'adah. So how do I build that up? Kivega says, that's why, and this is my favorite piece in davening, you say Ava Rabba before davening, before Kriya Shema. What's Ava Rabba? Because Baruch Hu has an infinite, a tremendous love, an overwhelming love for us. But then you start to think, but I sinned. Sometimes I'm not loyal. Ashadnu b'gadu gazalnu d'ibayim r'daifi. So many things. Chemla g'dayla v'yseira chamal saleinu. The Gros says, Chemla g'dayla v'yseira means that even after the Chet HaEgel, when we were disloyal, right at the Chatzana by Har Sinai, we were not loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we chayt the Chet HaEgel, it's Chemla g'dayla. It's that love v'yseira. And even more compassion HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Because it's unceasing love. And then he's a Kerov Tanu. He draws us near him. He's Avinu Avarachman. And then what happens? Habaycher ba'amo Yisrael. He didn't choose us. He chooses us. It's Lashon Haiva. He chooses you to be alive today. That's why you're alive. You're lechatchila. You're lechatchila in his eyes. It's unbelievable. You're lechatchila, Mr. Blatter, in his eyes. Habaycher ba'amo Yisrael. How? Be'ahava. With love. What's your natural response to that when you realize that? That's natural. It's no big deal. Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim is no big deal if you understand the first part, the part that we all dive in very quickly. You know, the part that we don't hardly say. You know, I try to get in yeshiva to slow it down, because it affects me. And then you carry that. That's the same relationship. And when you have that, when you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such an infinite love for you, the way you are, then you have it to him. Then the second parasha of Kriya Shema is Zechar v'Mitzvos, Zechar v'Einish. Yeah, you could take a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did something wrong and Vavarta Meheira. Even that I can handle. It's not rejection. Why is now? Because the relationship is intact. So it's punishment, not rejection. But if there wouldn't be the relationship that I feel with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you would process the punishment as rejection. When you have a relationship with your parents, you process the punishment as a punishment. When you don't have a relationship, you process the punishment as a rejection. Who made the mistake? We made the mistake. Same thing will be true in a yeshiva. And then you process the reward, not as entitlement, but as a reward. When you have that relationship, it's an added present. Because I have the relationship. It's fascinating to do that. And our Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim, which we always thought was Yira, is really Ava. It's beyond Yira. V'haftas Hashem Alkecha. That's our Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim, Ava. That's the most important thing for a person to live this life. You know, in his learning, you develop it through learning, and that's the Kavani have, Avinu Ava Rachman, 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 we ask for everything. We Jews are great. Lahavin Haskel Shmuel, Lil Malavid, Lishma Vlasas. What? It's called the phrase. Salmutar Secha. And it should be Ba'ava also. And we want that relationship in all our Amelis and Yegiyas HaTayra. Baruch Hashem, you know, the boys, this yeshiva have that. You have it with the Hanhala, you have it with the Rebbeim, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashkiach. You have it amongst yourselves. It's a relationship of Liman HaTayra Ba'ava. Amelis and Yegiyas HaTayra Ba'ava. It develops strong relationships. And these are the relationships that will carry you throughout all the challenges of your life. Sorry, I was a little over time.